from that. Somebody gave up on that pretty quick.
Good morning. A warm welcome to you all here in the church, joining us online now and at a later date on this bright, sunny Anzac morning. It's also my pleasure, and yours I'm sure, to welcome Alice back with us today. Let us worship. Day by day, God leads us to the deep, deep pools of peace, to the green, lush lawns of grace. Day by day, God calls us to pour ourselves in service, to anoint the stranger with hope. Day by day, the Holy Spirit shows us the community we could be, the family we are called to become. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the first inhabitants of this place, part of God's good creation. We honour them for their custodianship of the land on which we gather today. You set humanity at the heart of creation, changing us with stewardship for all you have. We give thanks for those who have heeded your call. As today is a non-singing Sunday, let us hum or sit back and listen to Casey and Katrina sing here in this place, New Light is Streaming.
Church is often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, and when we hear today's Bible readings a little later, it will probably be clear why. It's not an official feast day in the church calendar, like we speak of Christmas and Easter and Epiphany and those sorts of days being. But every year, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the Revised Common Lectionary always has Psalm 23 and a reading from John 10 about the Good Shepherd and his sheep. Today is also Anzac Day. And on Anzac Day, we remember those who have served our country. We remember those who have lost their lives in war, those who have lost loved ones, and those who continue to be traumatised by the effects of war. We pray for God's comfort and healing and peace in their grief and distress. As a way of reflecting on Anzac Day, I'd like to share this picture book with you this morning called Lest We Forget, written by Kerry Brown and illustrated by Isabel Knowles and Benjamin Portis. My granddad says there are two types of days, those you want to remember and those you want to forget. I remember my first day of school. I had a brand new uniform and Mum polished my shoes until I could see my face in them. I was a little bit scared, but Mum said I had to stand tall because I was her brave little soldier. I remember playing soccer on the weekends with my team. We trained really hard. Sometimes we won and sometimes we lost. Our coach said that we were like a family and it was important for us to look after each other on the field. I remember when my baby sister was born. Mum and Dad had a celebration. All of our friends arrived with presents and plates of food. Everyone sang and danced late into the night. I would like to forget the day Mum tried to make stuffed pork. She burnt the roast and the whole house filled up with smoke. We had to eat Vegemite sandwiches for dinner. I would like to forget the day Dad's truck got a flat tyre. I had to walk all the way to school. The sun was scorching hot and my bag was so heavy. I would like to forget the day the vet rang to say our dog had died. Dad helped me make her a special goodbye bed in the backyard. Sometimes when I visit Grandad, we talk about our days. Grandad's stories are always interesting, and he thinks mine are funny. Grandad says that out of all of the days of the year, there are two that are very important. He says that they are days that make the country stand still, and they are days that make him sad. I asked Grandad if these are the days he would like to forget. He looked at me and said, "No, son, these are the days when we must stop and remember, lest we forget." Let us pray. God of remembrance, help us this day to remember the sacrifice of the first Anzacs at Gallipoli. We give you thanks for the freedoms we enjoy in this land, and remember those who lost their lives to defend them. We pray that we may have the grace to live in a spirit of justice, of generosity, and of peace. We pray that people around the world may have the compassion to reach out to those in need. God of love and grace, be with those who bear the wounds of war today. Fill them with your peace. May we have a deep sense of gratitude and a deep sense of responsibility for the freedom and security we are privileged to enjoy in this beautiful country. May the power of your resurrection inspire us to live as a righteous people, ready to share your love with others and be signs of love in this world. May we be a compassionate, forgiving and loving people. In your name we pray. Amen. And let us continue in prayer. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, as a shepherd gathers their flock, so you have gathered us today, drawing us into the shelter of your flock to feed and refresh us. Some of us come before you rejoicing because our path has led us through green pastures and you have filled our cup of happiness to overflowing. Some of us come before you battered and bruised by life because our path has led us through dark and frightening valleys and we need to know your strength restoring our souls. Some of us, like foolish sheep, come before you ashamed because we have wandered astray instead of following you, and now we come to seek for your forgiveness. If we have followed the crowd, doing as others did, forgetting that we are pledged to follow you, then Good Shepherd, set us right. If we have chosen to do what we want rather than act out of love for others and have found ourselves in difficulties, then Good Shepherd, set us right. If we have been so preoccupied with other things that we have stopped listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd, then Good Shepherd, set us right. Bring us back from where we have wandered and set our feet on the path that leads to light. Speak your word of pardon, Lord, and remind us that you said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." May each of us know that we matter to you, however far away we may have strayed. May we hear your voice afresh during our service today and draw closer to you before we leave. May we entrust the week ahead to you and have the courage to follow you day by day. For we pray this in your name. Amen. Our God is a God of grace, love, peace, and truth. Hear Christ's word of grace to us today. Your sins are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all my days, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Let's listen and share together in the song, Because the Lord's My Shepherd.
It starts to fail, my strength, he helps it mend. He guides me in the right paths, helps me honor him again. And when I walk through darkness, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, guiding all the way. Oh, provide for me abundantly, though enemies surround. You welcome me as your guest, greater blessings can't be found. Your goodness, love and kindness will be with me day and night, and your house will be my home, always, all my life. And when I walk through darkness, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guiding all the way.
Second reading is John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Only to take it up, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And this is the word of the Lord.
Sheep and shepherds, or shepherd to be exact. Sheep and a shepherd. That's what today's two readings are about, which sort of presents us with two issues. One, it requires the preacher to deal with the congregation's likeness to sheep, which does not always sit well, given the common view that sheep are slobbering, untidy, dumb animals who only exist to be shaved or slaughtered. And the second issue, this preacher knows very little about sheep. And when I think about it, I think most of what I know about shepherds has come from hearing sermons about the Good Shepherd. So in preparation for today, I came across a preacher who did something that is important for all preachers to do. She admitted that she didn't know much about sheep, and so she went and found someone who did. Apparently, the suggestion that sheep are dumb is a rumour spread by cattle farmers. They say sheep are dumb because sheep are different. Sheep don't behave like cows. Cows are herded from the rear by cowboys or cowgirls, cracking whips. In other words, they get behind the cows to get them moving. But that will not work for sheep. If you try standing behind sheep and make loud noises, all they will do is run behind you. Sheep prefer to be led. You push cows, but you lead sheep. Sheep will not go anywhere that someone else, namely their shepherd, has not gone first. Their shepherd must go ahead of them to show them that everything is all right. I know I'm making an assumption here, but a lot of us probably don't have a lot of experience with sheep and shepherds today. But that was not the case when Jesus spoke about shepherds and sheep some 2,000 years ago. When Jesus spoke of shepherds and sheep, he was speaking to people who had everyday experiences with lambs and sheep and goats. Even if they made their living as a carpenter or a fisher, they knew or watched shepherds all of the time, watching them move their sheep and goats from the pens out to the fields. They drank the milk of those animals, turned that milk into cheese, and eventually ate the animals. And those animals provided not only daily nourishment, they were essential for important religious rituals. All of Jesus' friends and followers had grown up telling and retelling the story of Moses and the flight out of Egypt. Each year they heard that call to take a lamb for each family and prepare the Passover meal. And still in Palestine today, it is possible to witness a scene that is very similar to what Jesus almost certainly saw 2,000 years ago. That of shepherds bringing their flocks home from the various pastures they have grazed during the day. Often those flocks will all end up at the same watering hole around dusk, such that all the flocks get mixed up together. 8 or 9 flocks turning into a convention of thirsty sheep. But their shepherds do not worry about the mix-up. When it is time to go home, each shepherd will issue his or her own distinctive call, a special trill or whistle or a particular tune on a particular reed pipe, and that shepherd's sheep will withdraw from the crowd to follow their shepherd home. They know whom they belong to, they know their shepherd's voice, and it is the only one they will follow. Because that's the other thing about sheep, apparently. Sheep tend to grow fond of their shepherds. Sheep seem to consider their shepherds part of their family, and a relationship grows between them. They develop a language of their own. A good shepherd learns to distinguish a bleat of pain from a bleat of pleasure, while the sheep learns that a click of the tongue means food, or a two-note song means that it's time to go home. So that's issue number 2 that I mentioned at the beginning, sort of addressed, the fact that this preacher knows very little about sheep. I now at least know a little more. But what about that first issue? What does it mean to think of ourselves as sheep? Nadia Bowles-Weber offers the following answer to that question. The truth about sheep is that I don't want to be one. The only sheep I've ever seen have been the sad, filthy, caged ones in petting zoos. I mean, given the choice, I'd be a wolf or maybe a shepherd, but never a sheep. Sheep are stupid and docile and easily manipulated. I want to make my own choices and go my own way. The truth about sheep is that sometimes we are rebellious. We are the sheep who stray as far to the edge of the flock as possible, so we can try and pretend we are free agents. We are anti-shepherdarians. Our insistence that we aren't like other sheep keeps us from the one thing we really want, which is to belong and feel safe. The truth about sheep is that we have a terrible hearing. We are the sheep who can't hear the shepherd because her voice is drowned out by the clamour of our self-critique. I wish I were taller, I wish I were shorter, I wish my wool were as white as hers or as curly as his. But sometimes we can shine as sheep. We are the sheep who do unbelievably tender and perfectly sheeply things for our fellow flockmates. We show them where the best grass is. We nudge them with our noses, helping them stand back up when they fall. We know to stop baa-baaing so that they can hear the shepherd call us. We are the sheep who love and listen to the good shepherd. The thing about being a sheep is it means being part of a flock and it means having a shepherd. Being a sheep means being part of a flock, part of a community, part of a family. It means belonging and knowing we aren't alone. It means having others around us to help us, support us, look out for us, encourage us. It means having others around that we can love and care for in return. But maybe we shouldn't be quick to make assumptions about who else is part of that flock. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And being a sheep means having a shepherd, someone who knows us and cares for us, someone who leads the way and helps us feel safe. And when we wander off, it doesn't mean we are not worthy to have a shepherd. It just makes it all that much better news that we do have a shepherd. The two readings that we heard Dawn share just before, Psalm 23 and John 10, 11 to 18, they approach the analogy of the sheep and the shepherd from two different angles. John 10 comes at it from the angle of the voice of the shepherd. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. Psalm 23 is from the other side. It's the voice of the sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd," the psalmist says. And the psalmist discovers that things on the journey are not always as they seem when the shepherd, when God, is present. We are safe, more cared for than we can imagine. It is the presence of the shepherd, of God, that can transform dangerous places and tough circumstances. The shepherd, God, can do counterintuitive things when it comes to our fear of our enemies, whether our enemies are people or situations or health or other challenges. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." The shepherd stops and stays, ready to comfort and provide. Let me finish with an adaptation of Psalm 23 from James Taylor's book, Everyday Psalms. "God has walked with me. I could ask nothing more. God has given me green meadows to laugh in, clear streams to think beside, untrodden paths to explore. When I thought the world rested on my shoulders, God put things into perspective. When I lashed out at an unfair world, God calmed me down. When I drifted into harmful ways, God straightened me out. God was with me all the way. I do not know what lies ahead, but I am not afraid. I know you will be with me. Even in death, I will not despair. You will comfort and support me. Though my eye dims and my mind dulls, you will continue to care about me. Your touch will soothe the tension in my temples. My fears will fade away. I am content. In death, in life beyond death, God is with me. All through life, I have found goodness in people. When life ends, I expect to be gathered into the ultimate goodness of God. And we'll now hear our musicians again with the song Breathe in the Morning Air, some new words to a familiar tune.
With your newsletter for what's on in the next week or so. Just a couple of things I wanted to underline is Packing Day is the 6th of June, sort through your summer clothes, and anything you don't need can have a second life. Also, the playgroup is looking for help with music and storytelling. Just 20 minutes around 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, every now and again. Guess you've, a lot of you are all grandparents, and I'm sure you know how to tell a story. Let us pray. Bless these gifts, O God, and the part we play in them. May they help express your way of love, justice, and peace in a world of struggle and need. O God, a loving shepherd, you come to us with the strength and love of a father and the tender mercies, patience, and protection of a loving mother. We see you in the very living of our days, and yet we so often fail to praise you or to offer our burdens to you. Hear us, Lord, as we lift our prayers for others and for ourselves. We pray for those in need, those who hunger or are homeless. We pray for those in pain, the abused, broken-hearted, and lonely. We pray for the sick in body and in mind, and for those who grieve. For the life of this community and all those who put their trust in you, for all their days and all their tomorrows. We pray that your loving kindness to the world would be offered through our hands, our words, our deeds, and our hearts. Free us, Lord, as your own people, to sing your praise in the work of our everyday lives, in those comings and goings of our simple and complicated living. Make us instruments of your peace and grace in weary days with weary people. Bless our memories, O God, that in our remembering we may partake of the mystery that is eternal life in its fullness. For we pray in the presence of your risen Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. We are holding on to you, Jesus. My feet on high.
As we leave from here today, I remind us to do so COVID safely, being aware of our distancing from others and sharing signs of the peace with each other safely. Morning tea will be served out in the hall. And so if you'd like to stay and chat after the service, I'd encourage you to do so over tea and coffee. And for those near to this side, please feel free to use the eastern doors. Otherwise, wait for the ushers to move the cameras before leaving through the rear. As we go into this week, may we remember that God has walked before us and we could ask nothing more. Green meadows to laugh in, clear streams to think beside, untrodden paths to explore. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. All through life, we can find goodness in people. And when life ends, we can expect to be gathered into the ultimate goodness of God. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.